I think the psalmist agrees with that too. He was glad that God had him in his hands. We're in the 60th psalm tonight, Psalm 60. I'm not sure if all the Bibles put these titles in to these psalms, but this one says that to the chief musician upon Shushan Edith, Mikdam of David to teach, when he strove with Aram Naharim and Aram Zobah, when Joab returned and smote of Edom in the Valley of Salt 12,000. That appears to refer to what's written in 2 Samuel, the 8th chapter. I'm not going to go read that, but if you want to go back and read through that chapter, you'll see that it lines up with what that says there. This word, I don't know why these are just interesting to me. It's not terribly important, but the word Shushan Edith, it says upon Shushan Edith or Edith. Apparently that refers to a hexachord harp or a lute. Don't know what a hexachord harp is exactly, but David clearly, he liked instruments. He speaks about stringed instruments and so on. So clearly David liked instruments, and he wrote these to be played on an instrument and sung for God's glory. And it's interesting that this one, it says it's for to teach. Well, you know, as we take in God's word, of course it is to teach us. And I appreciate that David set things to music. Things are easy to remember oftentimes when you set them to music. That's why when we teach our kids their ABCs, we set that to music, and then you get that stuck in your head. A, B, C, D, E, F, G. And it gets stuck in your head. And music is a method to help remember things. And we sing choruses, and you might not always remember exactly what that verse is, but we sing a lot of choruses that are scripture, that are come out straight out of scripture, or very closely. Sometimes we have to adjust the words a little bit. You have to remember, by the way, these were written in Hebrew, and so they were sung in Hebrew and to Hebrew music. So just remember that when, you know, sometimes when we go to put stuff to music out of the scripture, we have to maybe arrange the words just a little bit to make it fit in some music. But it's good to sing God's word because it does help us remember his word, and it is instructive to us. And so we're going to read this. I'm going to just read through the whole thing, and then we'll come back and go through some of it. But it's a fairly short psalm. Psalm 60, starting in verse 1. O God, thou hast cast us off. Thou hast scattered us. Thou hast been displeased. O turn thyself to us again. Thou hast made the earth to tremble. Thou hast broken it. Heal the breaches thereof, for it shaketh. Thou hast showed thy people hard things. Thou hast made us to drink the wine of astonishment. Thou hast given a banner to them that fear thee, that it may be displayed because of the truth, Selah. That thy beloved may be delivered, save with thy right hand, and hear me. God hath spoken in his holiness. I will rejoice, I will divide Shechem, and mete out the valley of Succoth. Gilead is mine, and Manasseh is mine. Ephraim also is the strength of mine head. Judah is my lawgiver. Moab is my washpot, and over Edom will I cast out my shoe. Philistia, triumph thou because of me. Who will bring me into the strong city? Who will lead me into Edom? Will not thou, O God, which hast cast us off? And thou, O God, which didst not go out with our armies? Give us help from trouble, for vain is the help of man. Through God we shall do valiantly, for he it is that shall tread down our enemies. Now, when I went back, I did go back, by the way, and read the 8th chapter of 2 Samuel and some of the surrounding stuff. I'm always interested in the what goes with this, but when I read that, I thought, well, this is an interesting psalm because in that chapter you see victory. I mean, they triumphed in that chapter over their enemies, and here he speaks about God having cast them off, and it occurred to me that this is a lesson. And so David is speaking about there was a time before that where they had been cast off, in a sense. God had let their enemies have rule over them, and I think this purpose of this psalm is to kind of look back and realize that where they had come from. It says, "Thou hast cast us off," that's in the past, "thou hast scattered us, thou hast been displeased, O turn thyself to us again." And clearly there's a looking back to the past of what had been, and looking again to what is currently going to occur, which is God is turning himself to them again and giving them victory. This is what you find again if you go read that chapter. You'll find that they had victory there. And David was given a lot of victory. David had his times when God did not give him victory for a certain reason. But in general, David had a lot of victory. He really subdued Israel's enemies in his reign. Verse 2, he says, "Thou hast made the earth to tremble, thou hast broken it. Heal the breaches thereof, for it shaketh." You can think about this again in poetic language, I guess, a little bit, but making the earth to tremble and so on. I thought about this, you know, just recently we had some pretty significant earthquakes out in California, and there's been some in a couple other places in the world recently. We've actually experienced a few here. They're pretty mild, but if you've been in it, you know, if things kind of move. And so if you've been close to one that's really big, it's really a little bit disconcerting, because literally the earth is moving under you. And that's not a really good feeling if you happen to be standing there or even sitting. I was sitting at my desk one day when one of them rolled through here, and everything just kind of kept moving around. And at first I wasn't even sure what was going on. It was my monitors were moving and shaking. And well, it can be a little disconcerting. It's we expect the earth that we stand on to be firm and to stay still as we walk around and so on. And so this is the idea here, of course, that God had made the earth to tremble. There's a little bit of uncertainty that goes with that. And, this is, again, he's looking to the past. Remember, he's looking to the past here at this point of Israel's past, and that's the way it felt. And so he says, "Heal the breaches thereof." Well, again, we haven't experienced this, but if you happen to be in a place where they have significant earthquakes and you happen to be in the right place, literally the ground will open up. I mean, what's happening with earthquakes, of course, is the ground is moving one place relative to another, and sometimes it will open up a space in the ground. And so he says, "Thou hast broken it." In other words, it feels like there's a break there. This is a little bit of an aside, but over in Africa, there's an area, and I can't remember the name of it right now, but it's a very large, very wide chasm that they believe is caused by earthquakes in the way past that broke this open. And it's pretty wide. And you can imagine that if you were near that when it happened, it would look like the earth had broken open, because that's exactly what happened. And it would be very disconcerting to think that you were in one place and the earth broke open and created an opening. We don't expect those sort of things. We want the earth beneath us to be steady. And so he's using this language to help understand that what's happened to Israel in the past, this is what it feels like, this is what it seems like. And so he says, "Heal the breaches thereof." In other words, close back up those places where it's open. "Heal the breaches thereof." I think it's interesting that David, he looks back and you got, again, I just try to think about David a little bit, I guess, but God had been giving him victories. But he looks in the past and he realizes that there have been some tremendous breaches. And that is that Israel had done some things and God had turned them over to their enemies. Those were the breaches, essentially. And he turns to the Lord and he says, "Heal the breaches thereof." This is important to me because it reminds me that we always need to turn to the Lord. He's the one that takes care of these things. When there are breaches, and sometimes in our life there are breaches, because of ourselves, and yet we don't look to ourselves to fix that breach. We go to the Lord to fix that. So this is important to me that David, and you see this. I thought about this as I was studying this chapter and looking back into 2 Samuel there. If you read the account in 2 Samuel, you find David and his men getting victory. And to me, I love that he writes these psalms, because when you come to the psalm, what you realize is David giving God the glory for those things, okay? And so in the history of it, if you will, it was David and his men, they went and they got victory. But when you come back to David and see what he has to say, he'll tell us that he turned to the Lord. And this is important. Verse 3, he says, "Thou hast showed thy people hard things," very difficult things they'd seen. They'd also seen the hand of the Lord in different ways. And he says, "Thou hast made us to drink the wine of astonishment," to be in awe of what God has done. And I think this is both ways, both the correction that God brought in allowing Israel to be overcome by their enemies, as well as the victory that God brought as they turned back to him. And so God has shown them these things. And you know what? God has shown us these things as well. We heard that this morning, that these things that are written in the Old Testament are written for our learning, for our instruction. And so we've seen what God has showed us, and it should bring astonishment. He says, "Thou hast given a banner to them that fear thee, that it may be displayed because of the truth." Those that fear the Lord, this is an important part also, because those that fear the Lord, those are those that are true believers, have faith and fear him. And they have a banner. God has given them a banner. The banner speaks, again, about victory and so on, because when you went to war, you carried your banner. We call it a flag today, but it was a banner to them. Word doesn't, you know, it's not a big deal there, but you carried that, and it was important that you kept carrying it, because if you didn't carry it any longer, it meant defeat for you. It meant that you were being defeated. The banner was a way to show the progress of your army as you went forward. And so it says that God has given a banner to them that fear him, that it may be displayed because of the truth. God's truth always triumphs. God's truth always overcomes. And then the word, of course, Selah, for us to stop and think about that for just a little bit. Again, I remind you that David had enjoyed a victory, but we'll see that as we go through here, he's bringing this in a way to let us know that God is the one that gave him the victory. That banner, if you will, it comes from God, and it is because of him that it can be displayed, and because of his truth. Verse 5, he says, "That thy beloved may be delivered, save with thy right hand, and hear me." The idea here of the beloved, of course, David's speaking in two ways, one of himself, and then prophetically, of course, he's speaking of our Lord, the beloved one. But he says that thy beloved may be delivered, save with thy right hand and hear me. So I want to concentrate really on David mostly in this statement, because, again, this is David reminding us that his victory is from God's hand, that his deliverance is from God's hand. And we cry out to the Lord. I think, you know, there's times when we maybe think that we can go to that battle on our own. Yeah, we get out there, we might find ourselves in defeat pretty quick, or it might take a little bit longer for that to happen. But if we keep going on our own, we will find ourselves in defeat. But when we go to the battle, crying out to the Lord, see, he says, "Save with thy right hand and hear me." God is the one that delivers. We don't deliver ourselves. Verse 6, he says, "God hath spoken in his holiness." Now, these next couple of three verses, again, of course, are God speaking, right? It says he has spoken in his holiness, and he says, "I will rejoice, I will divide Shechem and mete out the valley of Succoth. Gilead is mine and Manasseh is mine. Ephraim also is the strength of mine head. Judah is my lawgiver. Moab is my washpot. Over Edom will I cast out my shoe. Philistia, triumph thou because of me. The clear thing in these statements is God's control over all of this. God is in control, and it belongs to him. I didn't write this down, but as I was studying for the other lesson I gave this morning, I don't know why, I was reading in the Old Testament there a few places, and I read where God reminds Israel that it wasn't because of their righteousness that he gave them the land. It was his doing, and it was because of the evilness of the people that were there. So they're reminded before they go into the land, actually, that was, and it was in Deuteronomy, I'm pretty sure, but I didn't go back and look it up again. But he reminds them there that it wasn't their righteousness or because they were great in some way that he gave them the land. He gave them the land of his own doing, and it was because the people that were there were evil. And I know Erlene has said this before, but some people think that's terrible. But if you go back and read that, God was actually quite gracious. More than 400 years, he gave them, those people that lived there, he gave them more than 400 years. And all they demonstrated was their evilness. And so he gave that land to his people. It belongs to him. It belongs to God. He says, I will divide Shechem and I will mete out the valley of Succoth. Gilead is mine. And by the way, he comes to Manasseh and Ephraim. These are two of the tribes, of course, the half-tribes. He comes to them and he says, they're also mine. And Judah is my lawgiver. It's good for us to recognize, first of all, that God is in control and it all belongs to him. And secondly, that we also belong to him. He has the whole wide world in his hand. He has you and me in his hand, right? And we belong to him. And what a great place to be. What a great thing to know that the one that has us in his hand, that takes us back to what Jesus had to say, to remind us that we are in his hands and he and his Father's, and no man can pluck them out. We belong to him. Everything that is here belongs to him. And we do well to remember that it does belong to him and he is in control of it. God's people often getting upset and worried about the way things are going in our country. But we should also remember that our country belongs also to him. He is in control. Verse 9, he says, who will bring me into the strong city? Who will lead me into Edom? I love these questions because, again, you go back and read the history in 2 Samuel, and you see that David and his men, they went and had victory. So I love that David writes these things down, because if he didn't write this down, it might be a little misleading to read that other event. Where it just seems like David is just overpowering things. But David knows, and this is important for us as well. When we have the victory, when we are victorious, we need to be certain to remember who brought us there, to remember who led us through that. Who will bring me into the strong city? Who will lead me into Edom? These are rhetorical questions, because he answers in verse 10. He said, will not thou, O God, which hadst cast us off? In other words, God, he says, you had cast us off in the past, but now you will lead us into the strong city and lead us into Edom. Give us the victory, that is. David knows, and he always has known, and he always reminds us that God is the one that gives the victory. God is the one that leads into victory. We need to remember that. Paul tells us in Romans, the 8th chapter, that we're more than conquerors through Jesus Christ, who loved us. Through Jesus Christ. So we need to remember that. Who will lead us in? Well, we know who will lead us in. We know who will give us the victory and who will deliver. Wilt not thou, O God, which hadst cast us off in the past? And thou, O God, which didst not go out with our armies in the past. You see, he's looking back to the past. And that's why he started out with the past at the top here, to remind us that God is the one, even though in the past he had cast them off, there was correction that had to come to them. And so this is a good encouragement for us. Has correction come in our life? Has God allowed us at some point to fail? You say, what, God allow us to fail? Yeah, sometimes he allows us to fail, so that we will understand and recognize his hand. When we go on our own, we'll always fail. And sometimes God just lets that happen to us, so that we will recognize that he is the one that leads us in victory. Verse 11, give us help from trouble, for vain is the help of man. Now, I think this is also interesting, because remember, David just had victory with his men, with his army. And you might think, well, this is a little demeaning to his army, isn't it, to say vain is the help of man? Well, I think he wanted all of them to also know that God is the one that delivered. David's mighty men, they're very interesting. You can go back and read about them. It's interesting to read about David's mighty men, because there's some stories, if you will, about them to help you understand just how mighty they really were. But David, again, he always wants to make sure that the glory goes to the right place. He says, give us help from trouble, for vain is the help of man. The truth is that vain is the help of man, because man can't give us the help that we really need. Now, does God use people to help us? Yes, he sure does. Did God use David's army of mighty men to bring him victory? Yes, he did. But without God, they would have just been vanity. And so we need to remember, we turn to the Lord. We don't dictate how God helps us. The method he uses, or the person or people that he uses, that's not for us to determine. That's for God to determine. We turn to him for help and gratefully accept if he sends someone to help us. Sometimes his help comes in ways that we can't even comprehend. And other times he sends somebody, maybe not the person that we wanted to see, or not the person we thought should come and help us. Sometimes God sends, but you know what? It is God. It is God that gives us the help that we need. Verse 12, he says, through God we shall do valiantly. And so this reminds me again of the 8th chapter of Romans. More than conquerors through Christ. Through God we shall do valiantly. For he it is that shall tread down our enemies. Now again, I remind you that there are stories about David and his mighty men. And they're very, like I said, very interesting to go back and read that. Maybe sometime I'll do a study on those. They're very interesting to read. And they were valiant men. Some things were kind of crazy a little bit almost that they did. They were valiant men. But see, David's very clear. Very, very clear that bravery, if you will, that they had, it was from God. Through God we shall do valiantly, for he it is that shall tread down our enemies. There are many instances in the Old Testament where God took out Israel's enemies without Israel really doing anything. Well, a good one, of course, is as they come out of Egypt and they go across the Red Sea. Moses stood there and he said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And they walked calmly across dry land through the sea, and God took care of their enemies behind them. There are many other instances where God, of course, clearly took care of their enemies without them really doing anything. And those are just reminders to us. Not that God did that every time. Sometimes they fought difficult battles. Joshua fought with Amalek, and he needed more time. He needed more time, so Moses had to pray, and God made the sun stand still. That's interesting. God made the sun stand still. So he doesn't always go before and just wipe out the enemy. There is a battle. And we heard this morning about the armor. There is a battle. We are fighting a spiritual battle. And so this goes really well, I guess, with what we had this morning. But our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers of darkness. And the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're not fleshly. They are spiritual, and they are strong to the casting down of strongholds. And so how are we going to be victorious? Through God. Through God. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, we shall do valiantly, for he it is that shall tread down our enemies and give us the victory. Amen. That's all I have tonight. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, it wasn't, for sure. Yeah, they weren't anything special as far as their where they came from, their background, that's for sure. Not the people we would have chosen, I'm pretty sure. That is interesting. You know, God chooses. God doesn't choose like man chooses.
Yeah.
Yes, it does. Yes. Yes. That's right. That's right. Yes. That's right. Yes, it was.